This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Murder, manipulation, technology, surveillance, politics. House of Cards is a roller coaster ride for its binge-watching fans, and if you're not sure what I'm talking about because you haven't yet finished the 13-episode run of season 2 of Netflix hit series, well then, I've got to issue a big, huge spoiler alert, because we're going to spend some time now talking with the real-life Massachusetts hacker, or former hacker, who played a key role in the development of one of season 2's most compelling subplots. That subplot focuses on a hacker, Gavin Orsay, played by Jimmy Simpson, who's been compelled to work for the FBI in order to avoid a prison sentence for his illegal online, but rather self-righteous activities.
Most of my friends are locked up and rotting away because they poked the bear one too many times. Why? They wanted to expose government surveillance, the PRISM program, embezzlement, abuse, torture, lies. We're soldiers.
Malden resident Greg Hausch knows that passion well. He's been involved with the online group Anonymous since its inception, and in 2007, his online activity landed him a 7-month sentence in federal prison, including almost a month in solitary confinement. Hausch now calls himself a reformed hacker. He's also a high-flying Hollywood consultant, because it's Hausch's personal experiences and his familiarity with the hacker community that largely informed the Gavin Orsay subplot on House of Cards. Greg dropped by our studios yesterday, and we started by asking him just how the show's producers first got in contact.
They reached out to me online. I didn't believe it was them. I thought someone was messing with me, of course. But then we just kept talking, and it was really them, and they wanted me to help out on the show and wanted to send me some scripts to look at, and it was amazing.
I love that they reached out to you online, first and foremost.
Right.
Did you get a sense from those early scripts that they were reaching for a kind of authenticity regarding the hacker community that you hadn't seen before?
Yeah, that was very specifically what they wanted. They wanted realism. They wanted it to look right. They wanted to use the right words. It was key to them that people like me watched it and noticed that they were really trying to get it right.
It's not just the technology and the technique, for example, that you had a lot of familiarity with, but the relationship with law enforcement and the lifestyle and the circumstances that a lot of hackers find themselves in or get themselves into.
Yes.
That you're also familiar with.
A lot of how we kind of reworked the Gavin character after I got a hold of the scripts was based on things I went through. I was caught for being a bad little kid in the 90s and, you know, was under their control for a good 7 years trying to get me to do things like they try to get him to do in the show. And
when you say do things, like, you were asked to what?
Oh, they ask you to go after everyone you ever knew. They ask you to work with them on new cases against the types of people that you used to be. What's more interesting about all of that is that I offered to actually do some stuff for them, but specifically I was willing to go after pedophiles. I was basically told, well, since that's not what we caught you for, we can't use you on those cases.
All right, Greg, so let's hear a little bit from the show. This is a moment that reflects some of what you just said, essentially. And in this scene, FBI Agent Green, played by Jeremy Holm, tells hacker Gavin Orsay, played by Jimmy Simpson, that his relationship with the feds is far from over.
How much longer?
Until what?
Until I can stop.
You prefer prison?
I've given you 8 child pornographers, 3 botnet masters.
But you still haven't given us AV unit.
Well, I told Carter I don't know where he is.
Yes, you do.
I don't. Nobody does.
Then what about your friends in DecSec?
I'm not giving you my friends.
And you can keep doing this. You're a productive asset, Gavin, but the moment you stop being productive, no lawyer can help you.
Greg, were the conversations that you had with federal authorities, were they so tense and power-laden?
They weren't as tense as that. I mean, you definitely have to play it up a little for TV, but from my end, they definitely felt that tense because I never knew if that was the day they were going to decide to even stop working with me and just say, you know what, since you're not helping and you're not being cooperative, we're just going to throw you in front of a judge. It's over. So I went through 7 years of every day not knowing whether my next day was the day I go to jail or not. We tried to put that into the character in a way where you could really tell that he was feeling just how tense of a situation he was in.
So that's a little bit about how the pressures that some hackers find themselves under, and the hacker community as a whole has been portrayed in House of Cards. But I also want to talk a little bit about just the technology in and of itself. First of all, I've read that the setup that the character of Gavin has in his apartment with the two or three really big monitors, the multiple keyboards, that's exactly your setup or close to it?
It's very close. It was eerie walking onto set the first time. They had asked what it should look like if we wanted it to look real. And I said, instead of trying to describe this to you over the phone, why don't I just actually send you some pictures of my setup?
Now, what about what we actually see for the people who are like really obsessed and try to zoom in on what's on the screens for Gavin's character on his computer screens? Is that accurate, the data that we see scrolling by?
There's really one company who does about 90% of the TV screens for TV and movie. They're all green screened, and then they use Adobe Director and send you the results. So we had to tell them what we wanted on the screens. And we wanted IRC, we wanted a Bitcoin miner, we wanted Tor. We wanted all these things that people would be able to recognize. When you zoom in, you can really recognize them, but you can also see that they were still drawn a little prettier than they normally look.
So you mentioned Tor, and that actually gets us to a scene where journalist Lucas Goodwin, played by Sebastian Arcelus, is talking to a tech reporter about how to access a vast part of the internet known as the deep web. Let's listen to that.
Hold on, the deep web, I've heard of that.
Oh, yeah, no, 96% of the internet isn't accessible through standard search engines. Most of it's useless, but it's where you go to find anything and everything. Child porn. Bitcoin laundering, mail order narcotics, hackers for hire.
How do you access it?
It's actually pretty easy. I can show you if you want.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Mind if I...
Go ahead.
Okay, first thing you need is Tor. Some people prefer I2P, but I think Tor is better.
What is Tor?
It protects you through proxy servers, keeps you anonymous.
So Tor and I2P are actual services that exist, but is it, Greg, is it as easy as that? You just sort of like go online, go through a Tor service, and you're in the deep web?
Pretty much. I mean, one of the problems with, you know, this so-called deep web, which it's weird because some of us love that term and some of us hate that term. I'm kind of on the fence. But since it's not anything that's really linked to, and it's on this kind of other network, you know, you access through Tor, you have to know how to get somewhere first. And so you'd have to load up a website. One of the better ones is called The Hidden Wiki. And it gives you links, once you're connected to the deep web, how to find all the stuff on the deep web.
Okay, Greg, so I want to move on, because one of the primary subplots in the early part of season 2, which I just found most compelling, is the fact that Gavin the hacker and the FBI are working to entrap Lucas the journalist. And so we have a scene here in which Lucas and Gavin are talking about what it would take to break into one of AT&T's data centers.
These are what servers look like. You can get inside one of these cages. You will have this. You slide it into the server. Voila.
It's that simple?
Yeah, well, your part, not mine. The codes are extremely complex.
So Lucas and Gavin, they're talking about the fact that all Lucas has to do is, like, get inside the data center and slide a dongle into one of the servers, and then Gavin will have access to all of AT&T's 40 million customers.
Getting into the data centers is actually surprisingly easy. Even the ones here in town, I've had servers co-located here at multiple of them in the Boston area, and sure, they've got biometric entry and guards and all this other fun stuff, but getting tours, paying a couple hundred dollars to get a server into one of the racks there, it'll get you in, and... One of the funnier things I found when I had servers there and I had to go work on my own hardware was just how many huge companies had open doors on their racks because a tech had left them unlocked or something. And Yahoo, Google, it was surprising to me.
I'm looking at an article that was published on Vice.com that you don't even actually have to physically enter one of the telecom company's data centers, that a hacker named Andrew Arenmeyer basically was able to access AT&T's user data by going to a public hyperlink, and he didn't have to hack anything.
Really interesting character. Yeah, he found a public URL that was exposing customer data that shouldn't have been, attempted to bring it to people's attention who ignored him, so he decided the only way to prove to these people that it's a problem is to actually have it, give me all their data, and then show the world. And now he's sitting in prison because he tried to expose that AT&T were bad.
Okay. Well, speaking of people who actually are being prosecuted for hacking in real life, an actual real person's name gets mentioned in House of Cards, and that's the name of Barrett Brown, who until very recently was facing possibly up to 105 years.
Yeah, there was a hack done by Anonymous against a company named Stratfor. Stratfor was a global intelligence firm who did security contracting and intelligence contracting with governments, companies, private entities. Just all their data was dumped, and it's sitting on a server somewhere. Barrett takes that link, the same link that tons of other people had already printed. That link had even appeared on CNN's website already, and pastes it into a chat channel for other people to go look at. They were charging him with sharing that link and saying that sharing the link was tantamount to possessing all the data on the other end. And since all that data had personally identifying information, they were counting every entry in that data that was just at the end of a hyperlink that he had copied from somewhere else. That was identity theft on every count.
Okay, so let's get back to the fictional drama in House of Cards. We've got one more scene here, and this is where the hacker character of Gavin reveals that he's actually done that major hack. He's broken into AT&T's servers and has access to phone records of millions of people, and he's trying to use that for leverage on FBI Agent Green.
This is one of the most sophisticated firewalls in the world. Even if your code did get in there, you couldn't break it down.
Your wife uses AT&T. So does her lover.
What?
She's over there right now. Jonathan Kemp. It's her chiropractor, right? You want to see their texts to each other?
No.
No, I see you already know. But you walked my code right through that door. Into 32 million people's phones. And that's on you. And it's on the FBI. So you tell me, how much is making that disappear worth?
You know, overall, Greg, I wanted to ask you this question, that it seemed that in bringing you in as a consultant, the producers of House of Cards really wanted to get as much accuracy about the hacker community into the show as they could. And that seemed kind of ironic to me, given the fact that the entire premise of the show, we hope, is so wildly fantastical, that, you know, the vice president of the United States kills two people, then deliberately undermines the president and becomes president himself. I mean, that's just like crazy fantasy. But they seem to really want to get realism regarding technology and the hacker community in there. And I was just wondering what you thought about that.
I did definitely think it was interesting, because watching the show, you see things that you can't believe. But at the same time, you know, minus those few actions you said, a good chunk of what happens on that show, given the state of our current government, doesn't feel as far-fetched as it should.
Well, Greg Hausch is a reformed hacker living in Malden and a consultant for the Netflix series House of Cards. Greg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a wonderful weekend. Join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.